Hello, this is David Greenwald of The Leanness Lifestyle. What you are about to hear is a short 16-minute segment from one of my coaching classes. This particular class was with a group of men, and the lesson on this particular evening was childhood obesity. As you will hear, there is a great responsibility of all leaders who have influence over children. This includes fathers, mothers, aunts, uncles, grandparents, guardians, teachers, and anyone who comes into contact with a child in any influential way. I hope you enjoy this audio program and learn something about the real cost of raising obese children. It's such an incredibly important topic, but the question that I want to ask is, has to do with the topic of genetics or parental modeling. Genetics or parental modeling. We're seeing a tremendous increase in childhood obesity and adult obesity, but in this specific case, childhood obesity. And you're going to see a lot of reports in the media, you already are, and in the news every day about what is the cause, you know, and what is changing, and what's environmental, and what's genetic, and what's inherited, and all of that. And the point I want to make tonight is, let's kind of get to the bottom of it, so that when you're reading these things, and or you are discussing these things with those in your household, or you are the one that is helping make a decision about what is in your house and what your children get to eat or what other kids get to eat, you'll have an intelligent opinion on that, and you'll be just be more knowledgeable and educated on it. So the question is, what do we inherit? What do we really inherit versus what do we mimic? You know, what things did you learn to do as a child that more closely resembles someone who was going to have a weight issue at some point in time in his life? What did your parents do that they didn't have a clue about that probably set you up for not being lean your entire life? Types of foods, patterns of behavior, sayings, demands. It's not genetics that's making us fatter as a nation, and it's certainly not genetics that's making our children obese. It's the modeling. And as parents, we are the ones absolutely that bear the responsibility of what it is that our kids end up looking like. And more importantly, and that's the reason for this discussion tonight, it is we absolutely have the control over their destiny. I mean, it's unbelievable how much it is. Let me just give you a little thing here. You know, 25%, between 5 and 25% of children and teenagers are obese now, which is just ridiculous. That's up, you know, 3, 4, 5-fold just in the last 10 years. It's not some obese gene. It is less activity, but we can't blame Nintendo and video games for it. You can't blame the kids. You can't point a finger at anybody but yourself if you're a parent. Yeah, genetic factors play a role, but you've got to look at the parents. The kids are eating everything just like their parents. They're modeling after the parents, just like we all did. And as parents now, we, as a nation, we're gluttonous. And the kids are doing exactly what we do. We're a push-button nation, and we've got to get up, get moving, and we've got to teach the kids the right things to do. And we've got to make it an educational process and not a diet. We've got to have more family fun activities, more just active activities, whether you're doing things together, where so that it's not a regimented drill sergeant, military diet slash exercise boot camp, you know, fat program. You know, children of obese parents are 10 times more likely to be obese than children with parents of normal weight. And hey, if both parents in the home are obese, you know what the chances are of the child not being obese are? 2. Slim and none. I mean, and it's the truth. And so the moral, you know, 2 obese parents, it just goes up tremendously. You say, well, I know, yeah, but you know, what's it really going to, what's the real damage here? Well, there's a lot. Physical and psychosocial, both. Childhood obesity is a leading cause of pediatric hypertension, you know, high blood pressure. Leading cause of type 2 diabetes in kids. Higher risk of coronary heart disease. It stresses the weight-bearing joints, harder on the joints at all times. This comes from the peer-reviewed medical journal called Duh. Studies have shown that obese children receive less acceptance from their peers, more discrimination from adults. They exhibit a greater sense of rejection and failure. They have poorer interpersonal relationships. They have limited group and social interests. If we don't take the bull by the horns as parents, we're not just irresponsible or contributing to their poor self-images, we are literally robbing them of their futures. We really are. That's why it's got to be an educational process. It needs to be a family process. I said early on, I said in week one, you are all leaders. If you are the dad in your home, or if you are the one that has significant impact on a child's life, you are, again, a leader. And in your home, being the dad, you are a leader in a number of ways. And the children are going to model what you do. Just give you a couple of quick facts on fat cell number. That this is the part that just blows me away, and I just can't let it lie. You know, a lean adult has 25 to 30 billion fat cells. A moderately obese adult, 60 to 100 billion fat cells. A massively obese person has 310 billion fat cells or more. Now, they used to be said that once you were born, you had all the fat cells you were ever going to have. Now they know that's not true. You know, the continued advancements in science have proven that after birth, there are at least two more opportunities that are very naturally occurring where fat cell number, not fat cell size, fat cell number, which is hyperplasia, can increase. And that is the first year of life and during the adolescent growth spurt. The other time, which is actually prior to birth, is the last trimester of pregnancy. We know at least in those three periods that fat cell number, hyperplasia, will occur. Well, that's a naturally occurring thing. It's not a bad thing. But if you feed a child, I should say if you overfeed a child during his first year of life, during adolescence, during that growth spurt, when his fat cell number is going to increase anyway, you will multiply that increase by X-fold, fill in the blank, and once he has the fat cells or she has the fat cells, they never go away, ever. Once you've got them, you've got them. So the big impact of that is, let me ask you guys this. See if you guys can critically think this through for just a second. Studies have shown, research has shown, that the greatest contributing factor as to whether someone is obese, looks obese, is measured obese, is fat cell number, not fat cell size. Did you know that a person who is morbidly obese, who gets to a lean body fat, has actually smaller fat cells than a person who is lean who has never been heavy? The fat cells are actually smaller if that person is going to look lean and be lean. So if you don't keep the junk out of the house, if you succumb to the whining and sniveling of the kids who want the cookies and the junk and they want the treats and they want the McDonald's 5 days a week, and our response as parents or what have you is, okay, I want to be your friend and it's just too hard to argue. If that's the role we take as the leaders in our homes and our communities with our kids, what impact do you think that might have with what I just said on fat cell number later in life? I don't typically like to do this, but I think for the sake of making the point, let's attach some human qualities to these fat cells just for a moment. Just so I can make a point, all right? They have no human qualities. They don't have a personality. They don't do things and have a mind of their own. We're a big hairy bag of chemicals, all right? But for this, let me just say this. Imagine, if you would, that the person with 310 billion fat cells gets those fat cells to shrink. All they do is shrink and swell once you got them, right? Shrink and swell, shrink and swell. They never go away. Well, they get them to shrink. First of all, it's your absolute right and privilege as an adult for anybody here who's heavy to make that happen, because it absolutely can happen. If you don't think you can get lean, go back to the concentration camp victim image, I should say, in your mind, and tell me that it can't happen. Yes, it can happen. We've got to do it the right way to make it happen. We don't want to end up, you know, unhealthy like those poor souls were. But you've got 310 billion fat cells. A lean person has 25 billion. We shrink those 310 billion fat cells down enough so that you are lean. What do you think happens in an overfeeding scenario for that person versus the overfeeding scenario for the person who's never been heavy before?
Easier to gain the weight.
A sponge.
Bingo and bingo. What else? You got it. Anybody else want to throw in any other analogies or metaphors? Yeah, you hit it. Absolutely. The person who has 310 billion fat cells if you just attach that personality to them, those fat cells are angry as hell that they're small and they're just waiting for you to screw up. You know? They are just waiting. Go ahead. Go ahead. I dare you. Go on a week-long binge. There's 310 billion of us here. We're waiting for you, buddy. Now, the guy that's got 25 billion, never been heavy. I mean, never been obese. 25 billion. Overeat? I don't know. I'm not getting that excited. You haven't shrunk me. You're actually smaller than I need to be. I don't really know what it's like to get really big or, you know. And there you have it. Here's the kicker is, it's not, as an adult, throw up your hands in the air, there's no hope. Not at all. It's your responsibility and your privilege and right to make it happen, because everybody can make it happen. The person who is heavy and has been heavy for a long time isn't going to be forgiven as much for overeating. Does that mean that they should be overeating in the first place? No. But there's going to be less forgiveness by the body because of the fat cell number. Is it okay, as parents, is it okay if you have control over a child's life to do that to another human being?
No.
I say no. It's not okay. It's not okay, guys, for you to get your ducks in a row and get your lives in order, or sit back and wait, and then maybe at some point in time, if you've got a child that's getting quite round, or looks like they have a tendency to get quite round, to maybe at some point in time you might kick it in. But hey, why punish them right now? Punish them by eating clean when they appear to be able to get away with it. Or hey, they've still got baby fat even though they're 13. It's all bogus. It's all crap. It's not right to do that to another human being. I feel incredibly strongly about this. It's not okay, in my opinion, to do that to another human being. And I don't care how you word it or spin it. And you can say that, well, I don't want to do that to them. They don't, blah, blah, blah. You know what? There's a balance. And that doesn't mean that you make your kids eat nothing but vegetables and chicken. That's not what I'm saying at all. None of you are doing that. But there is a balance in the home. Our kids have ice cream. They have blizzards. They have snacks and treats and chocolate. And you know, they have all of that kind of stuff. But they also have balance. And they also have good nutrition, and under no circumstances are the inmates running the asylum in my home. And as I've said, my kids get to decide what they eat when they're the ones who are buying, and that's going to be quite a while. So,
I like that.
You know,
Dave,
yeah.
If I just throw this in, this is Jim. I've got three kids, a son he's like his mom, he's lean as the day is long,
mm-hmm.
Eats when he's hungry, and that's it. Like my wife does.
Yeah.
I wish I had that trait. That's quite the opposite of me.
Mm-hmm.
I eat for the pleasure of it, you
mm-hmm.
know, that kind of stuff. My two daughters is a tweener.
Yeah.
She doesn't appear that she's going to fight with her weight a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
My littlest one, my youngest, is 12, and she's just like me. And I'm going to tell you, it bothers me, it scares me, because not only, I mean, what we need to do is just, man, project how we're feeling right now.
Yes.
In battling this.
Mm-hmm.
Project that upon them. Do you want that for your kid? I don't want that for my kid. And it's not a matter of, do I have the right to do that for them? Do I care enough to do that for them? I mean, if I care enough to do it for me, I'm better for them. And the thing is, on top of that, with her being a young lady, there's even more stigma to it. I mean, I can go around and say, well, Big Jim, you know what I mean?
Yep.
They call me Big Jim, and that, somehow that's a macho, somehow that's a backhanded compliment.
Absolutely.
Somehow. And in their culture. But for a young lady, it is nothing like that. And I, you know, I'm almost afraid for her, because I see that it's just net. I mean, man, it's just, you know, it's starting to run its course. And you know, I need to sit down with my wife. And I'm just making the point that, man, it's not a matter of should I do that for another person. This is my daughter.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
These are children.
Absolutely.
And I don't want her to struggle like I do.
And you know the thing,
or at least give her the tools to do it early on.
You hit a couple of points dead on. First of all, she being a girl, she's going obviously to be a woman, and there the impact on looks for women. Guys, I've worked with a lot of women now, and I've had a tremendous advantage in my life as a man. I've had an opportunity to get inside the mind and really get an understanding as best as any of us can, but I've really had an opportunity to get that understanding of what it is that goes through their mind and what it is they go through when it's heavy. And for a woman, Jim, it's 10 times.
I, and I, I know I've had
10 times.
I've seen it.
It is. And so you're right there. And the other thing is that there's only one possible way, unless she's not in your control or in your, you know, that the only, there's only one possible way she can get to the food. You bought it, or the wife bought it. So we have to take absolute responsibility, and I know you are, but we have to actually take it past where we are comfortable with.
Right.
And you look at it, and the comment generally is, because you've got two thin kids, it could be, well, I don't want to punish them because she's got a tendency like me. Are you punishing them if the whole house is balanced? No, you're not. But it's a mindset that you have to work through. And it's a change, but, you know, is it worth it? Oh, my gosh, if she doesn't have to battle her weight,
well,
you know what a relief her husband is going to have?
I just, you know, I want it for
her. Think about it.
Yeah, I do, but
think about
I want
her.
It for her, man. I just flat out want it for her.
Think of, exactly.
I don't want her to go through the games that I go through.
Absolutely.
You know, does she identify real strongly with you?
Yes and no. We're so much alike. It's that kind of thing where we can butt heads, but we, I mean, I'm close with all my kids. So, yes, she does. I mean, she even, it's vocalized in the house periodically.
Well, let's do this.
The similarities, you know what I'm saying.
Jim, I want to thank you for that, because that's, you're absolutely right. And that's, you know, if I can get just one household listening here to make some small changes and just get the guy on board and get the man of the house on board and perhaps...
My wife's for it, Dave. I think it's just a matter we've got to actually put something on, you know, where you say think on paper.
Yeah.
I mean, we can talk about it, talk about it, and say, oh, don't eat that Twinkie.
But
it's not a plan.
It's still in the house.
Not day in and day out.
Exactly. If the Twinkie isn't in the house, there's no way to eat it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, not for a child anyway who doesn't have a driver's license. Hi, this is Dave Greenwald again. This concludes this part of the class I taught. Be good to your children and lead them by example. What they see is far more powerful than what you say. Until they have a driver's license, it's you, their mentor, role model, parent, or what have you, that decides what they will eat. Thank you for listening to this excerpt from my class. For more information about how you can become a member or sign up for any program I may be offering, just visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. That's www.leannesslifestyle.com.